This is the Shrimps Verdicts podcast. All opinions expressed are those of the individual contributors and not necessarily those of either Morecambe Football Club or of Beyond Radio.
Every kick, every game, every goal. Full match commentary of Morecambe FC on Beyond Radio. This is Shrimps Live from Beyond Radio.
Away and Charlie Brown's going to open the scoring. Yes. And that's a calamity for the Forest Green Rovers keeper, Vicente Reyes. Nothing on at all really, as the ball was just played back to him. He took a touch and then went to clear it, but it was too heavy and Charlie Brown at the near post just slid in, nicks the ball off him and scrambles it over the line, and it's scrappy, but Morecambe take the lead on the half hour. Shrimps 1, Forest Green Rovers 0. Charlie Brown.
It's all came from nothing, that really. It's brilliant pressing from Charlie Brown. One of those Reyes just thought he had a little bit more time than he actually had, and you know, Brown slides in, nicks off him, and you know what, Reyes almost does an excellent to claw it away, but Brown's just too quick for him and just slides into the net. But yeah, sort of came from nothing really, didn't it? There wasn't really any immediate danger, but definitely one you won't want to see again, but it's all part of your learning. He's a young keeper.
Osadibi, right hand side, here's Kyle McAllister for Forest Green Rovers. He's going to try and jink his way towards the edge of the box. Right. Charlie McCann has found the back of the net for an equaliser. That was a good move by Forest Green Rovers down the right hand side.
Very good move.
McAllister into Charlie McCann. Drew Archimere slips it into the far corner. At 38 minutes, it's Morecambe 1, Forest Green Rovers 1.
It's a brilliant bit of play from McAllister there, just to juke through, and then a lovely little reverse ball. And, it's a brilliant finish from Charlie McCann as well, just chipping the ball over the outspread Archimere and finding the far corner of the net.
Not much Archie could really do about that, as it just came out and narrowed the angle. Nice finish.
It's a great ball in behind this.
All things considered, Stu, I think it's probably about right, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Ricketts taken quickly. Doige, we're in here. McAllister, and that's into the back of the net for 2-1 Forest Green Rovers. I think the keeper was a bit unsighted there. The free kick was taken quickly, worked nicely on the edge of the box, and he had loads of space earlier on in the first half, did Kyle McAllister, and didn't need a second invitation there. Let a left-footed low drive go underneath Archimere, it went. And just before half-time, it's the visitors who have turned it around. It's Morecambe 1, Forest Green Rovers 2.
It's sort of come from nothing, that. Like I say, it's gone a bit flat, and you know, I didn't actually see that one happen so quick, the free kick, and I just saw the finish, and it seemed to have an acre of space, really.
Yep.
It's, 2-1 is a bit of a disappointing turnaround.
Reaction to the action. This is the Shrimps Verdict on Beyond Radio.
Chip towards the penalty spot, headed away by Doige. It is Archimere who picks it up. He's basically in central midfield.
And Mare's
in absolute no man's land here. And Forest Green Rovers are breaking, and Mare is well out of his goal here as Kyle McAllister skips towards the edge of the box, needs to try and chip it into the empty net, and he puts it over the bar.
It won't matter, but you think he was going to have a better shot. But.
And the referee, Ross Joyce, brings proceedings to a close, and Morecambe have been beaten by Forest Green Rovers by 2-1 in their final League Two game of this season. Another defeat for Jed Brannan. I think that's 8 losses in the last 11 games. All started really well for Morecambe. Charlie Brown with his 6th goal of the season, giving Morecambe the lead on the half hour, but it was 2 just before half time. They were both sucker punch goals, really. One from Charlie McCann and one from Kyle McAllister. Two nice finishes, you have to say, but for both goals, we were caught on our heels of it, in all fairness. And it was 2-1 to Forest Green Rovers, and Steve Cottrell's men at half time. We huffed and puffed in the second half, other than a Gwion Edwards low drive midway through the half. Didn't really look like finding an equaliser, to be honest, and Morecambe slipping to their 8th defeat in the last 10 games, home and away in League Two. Only one game of the season to go this season. At the end of the campaign, quite frankly, can't come quickly enough.
Well, you had a 2-1 home defeat for you against Forest Green Rovers. Just your overall thoughts?
Very, very disappointed, to be honest. Obviously, what a day for a football match. It sets up perfect for us. A team that's got relegated last game, home game season. We should have come here today. We should have steamrolled them. We've gone straight at them with tempo, desire. We showed none of it. Even before we scored, they could have scored a goal. And we just went at the races again today. It's not good enough. No excuse. They keep saying it every week now. They're throwing poor performances in, and it's not acceptable.
Yeah, you've had a couple like that, you've said, in recent weeks. It's probably too late to change it now for this season, but how do you go about changing it for maybe next week even?
I don't know. I've just had a chat with the lads and changing there and talking about pride, self-pride, and you've got to have pride when you play football, and you've got to be able to go out on a pitch and put a good performance week in, week out, not every 6 or 7 games. We've got to be consistent, and we're just not. I don't know why we can't get a win at home. Or even a performance, and it's driving me mad, to be honest. And obviously so disappointed again. We've got another game next week. We'll go there, probably going to put a good performance in away from home, but we need to do it in front of our home fans. You turn out the numbers today, very good. Sang when the game was so poor, and still sang, and they got behind us, and we put a performance in like that. As I say, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, the fans, as I say, turn out in numbers, the final home game of the season. I know, as a manager, you always want to win your last home game, don't you?
You always want to win every game. But you're right, last home game you want to win. You said that before the game. Let's finish this game on a high note, the season on a high note, and put a good performance in no matter what. Let's run so we can't run anymore and bring the subs on. And you've seen yourself, it just went there.
Charlie Brown, another goal for him, and a result of his persistence to hunt the goalkeeper down, really.
Well, we worked on that yesterday. We were closing them down, high press, and we've seen what they're doing. Charlie done himself and worked hard for his goal and got his rewards. Every time we put pressure on them, we took the ball off them, and then we stopped doing it. It's just crazy.
A 10-minute spell after you got the goal, 1-0 up, but there was a 10-minute spell where they scored twice. But did they play well for that 10 minutes, or did you just not lay a glove on them and just not put enough effort in?
We just come back behind the ball and just let them have the ball in front of us, pass it around us, not go with runners. We've done everything in football, what you've got to do, we never done for their 2 goals. We let runners go in behind us, runners come on from inside to out, and see they scored 2 easy goals, which I felt sorry for Archie in goal.
You brought Caden Herrick in, say, centre half. I think it's the first time we've seen him at centre half, and I thought he looked really good before, unfortunately, he went off injured.
Yeah, obviously that's where he come in as a centre half. He plays for his country there, doesn't he? Yeah, I thought he was brilliant today. Yeah, I was made up with his performance. He was one of the probably only bonuses today. Well, to see the back, Donald Love as well coming back. Yeah, he's done well. Just got cramp. Which he hasn't played a lot of football, so fair play to him.
Just a couple of chances in the second half. To be fair, great save from their keeper, from Gwyn Edwards.
It was, yeah, but not enough. Not enough of it. Our set pieces were poor. A few good balls in by Charlie, nobody attacking them. We worked really hard on them, and you've got to have a desire to win that ball in there and get a cut nose or something, put the ball in the net. We just didn't seem to have enough players to do that today.
I did watch you a bit on the sidelines, and you did cut a frustrated figure at times. Is that the frustrations of management now really coming to the fore for you?
No, because I know they can do better, and it just drives you mad when you're on the side and you know the lads can do better, and they never. So it's so frustrating looking at them, knowing that there's a lot of good players and they're a lot of talent, and it's just a waste at times.
And in many ways, they probably owe you one, the fans one, the club one, next week at Swindon.
Yeah, we'll go there and try and get 3 points. Obviously, put up a good performance and finish on a high. But obviously, there's been a lot. The last what 10 games has been inconsistent. 2 wins out of that. And a few bad performances. We've got to get it right somehow. It's going to be tough next year because we're going to have to put a new squad together and start off from scratch.
Well, David, a 2-1 home defeat to Forest Green Rovers today. Just your thoughts overall on the game?
It's not the way we wanted to end the season at home, for sure. I felt like we were a bit laxy-daisy in possession at times. It wasn't the most entertaining of games. And I feel like games like this, we have to win. But now, all in all, we're a bit upset with the way our season's panned out. And, you know, sometimes you have to suck it up and go again.
Yeah, 8 defeats in the last 10. As you say, it's gone from challenging for the playoffs. The 3-point deduction didn't help, but it has just gone a bit downhill, hasn't it?
Yeah, of course. We're not on the best of runs at the moment as well, which is extremely disappointing. And we wanted to end the season on a high, so to be on a 3-game losing streak, I think it's not ideal, and it's not where we want to be at all, no.
Is there anything you can put your finger on at all?
Not really. I think I'd be making excuses, to be honest. I just feel like we've not been good enough, and that's what it comes down to sometimes, having that elite mentality to strive to be better every day, and maybe we've lacked that at times, and yeah, that's the way it's been for us.
Looking at today's game, you got a helping hand, you got into the lead after half an hour, which was in a good position, but after then they came back with two goals in 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, I mean, these type of games can always be slippery in a sense, but we've took the lead through Charlie pressing extremely well, and then we've sort of then fallen back into a shape where we weren't as aggressive as we would have liked to have been, and how we've worked on in obviously previous days in training, and then we obviously concede two goals, which are slightly fortunate to them, but you know, this is the way our form's been recently, and we haven't really had the luck.
One game left now, all to play for next week for you at Swindon Town. Hopefully end the season on a good note.
Yeah, I mean, it's another opportunity to end the season on a high. You know, it's extremely disappointing, and it feels like a season a year wasted, to be honest, in my opinion anyway. But, you know, next week there's another opportunity to put things right, and we're going to look forward to that one and attack it.
It's the Shrimps Verdict podcast, part of Shrimps Live on Beyond Radio. This is Dave Salmon. Thanks as ever for downloading this episode. We really appreciate it. And that's it then. Done and dusted at the Mazuma Mobile Stadium for another season. I know the club and Jed and all of the boys really appreciate your support. And of course, everybody behind the scenes, the commercial team and the board, always appreciate you buying your match tickets and your programmes and your food and drink and hospitality and everything that goes into an amazing match day experience. So if you've managed to come to some games at the Mazuma this season, thank you so much. And also, of course, thanks if you've not got down to the games and you've been listening to it right here on Shrimps Live, the only place, of course, where you can hear full commentary of every single Morecambe game, home and away. One more to go then, away at Swindon Town next Saturday. The deadest of dead rubbers on the field, really. I mean, an 8-hour round trip on the final day of the season for no apparent reason. That doesn't particularly fill me with joy, but the fixtures are what they are, I suppose. We'll look ahead to that with a preview in just a tick, but it's been the end of season awards due as well. I think there were 14 awards in total given out in the whole ceremony. Great evening, of course, as ever, in the hospitality suite. And here is the recipient of the 2023-24 Shrimps Live Player of the Season.
This is going to be a right-footed corner by the captain, Donald Love, towards the back post. Beats everybody apart from Bloxham. Does well to keep the ball in, needs support. Here it comes from Senior, which the ball towards the edge of the penalty area, headed away. Senior's got a couple more seconds now to drive towards the edge of the box. Might think about a shot himself here, Senior. Why not? Senior to shoot and finds the bottom corner, and that could be the winning goal for the Shrimps in stoppage time. Unbelievable scenes here at Gander Green Lane. It was Joel Senior with it. He is mobbed inside the Sutton United penalty area, and deep in stoppage time, could that seal Morecambe's third straight away win? Joel Senior up from the back. Sutton United 2, Morecambe 3.
The Shrimps Live Beyond Radio Player of the Season for 2023-24, defender Joel Senior, and thoroughly deserved, I'm sure every Morecambe fan will agree. And not the only Player of the Season accolade that Joel's won for all his efforts this season. We are going to be chatting to Joel, hopefully, in the next few days, and we'll get that on the Beyond Radio channels and, of course, in our next podcast, our final one of the season, straight after the game away at Swindon Town next Saturday. Saturday, 27th of April. Let's have a look ahead to that game right now then with Rich Pullen. Rich is a huge Swindon Town fan. He's also one of the brains behind the fantastic Loathed Strangers podcast. Search that wherever you get your pods from, and also on social media. Rich will tell us why exactly it's called the Loathed Strangers. Something to do with the film or a book or something. I don't know. We'll work it out in a minute. But a great chat here with Rich to get to the full lowdown on Gavin Gunning's men. It was Michael Flynn, of course, that last time that the two sides met, but Gavin Gunning in charge of Swindon Town now, to get the full lowdown on exactly what we can expect when we head to the County Ground next Saturday, 3 p.m. kickoff. And if you're not making the trip down one last time this season, your ears and eyes would be really, really appreciated on Shrimps Live. You can find that on iFollowShrimps at MorecambeFC.com, and you can listen to the whole game for free from just before 2:55 across North Lancashire and South Cumbria on our FM and DAB Plus digital radio services. So, Rich, thanks for jumping on our pod again, mate. Really appreciate it. Happy end of season, if that's a thing. I mean, it is now, if it wasn't in the past. Before we get going, tell us everything we need to know about the Loathed Strangers. What is it? Where is it? What's it all about?
Yeah, the Loathed Strangers is a, believe it or not, a Swindon Town-centric fans podcast. And I think this is about my fifth or sixth season covering Swindon in different guises. But now we're firmly in the week-to-week grind that is following Swindon on a regular basis. The name Loathed Strangers comes from Fever Pitch by Nick Hornby when he went to the 1969 League Cup final between Swindon and Arsenal. As an Arsenal fan, he looked around and he'd never loathed strangers more than the Swindon fans around him that day. So that's where the name comes from.
Like it very much. And it's a real labour of love, isn't it, Rich? There are a few of you involved and you've now got quite the thing going.
Oh, yeah. So there's about 15 people that contribute, and it's not just necessarily on the pods. I have a core of four or five who do the rounds, but there's also about 10 others who are very supportive in WhatsApp groups and so forth, and they appear sporadically, but they are always contributing behind the scenes, which is just as nice.
Which is always great. Search the Loathed Strangers on the socials and then wherever you get your pods, really, you'll see it. You can't miss it. It's got a nice logo and everything. As Rich said, it's been going for quite a number of years. So they know what they're doing by now. Well, theoretically, at least, Rich, you know what you're doing.
Yes. More clear about the podcast than the football club in terms of that sort of clarity. But yeah, we do okay, I think.
And let's talk then about the deadest of dead rubbers that there could possibly be. I know there aren't probably two-thirds of the division in the same boat as us on Saturday. Are we both going to be on the beach? Is it going to be a 6-5 blockbuster because the shackles are off? It could be anything, I suppose, couldn't it?
This is our first definitive dead rubber of the season since we've been on the beach. The other teams that we've played, three or four, have all had something to play for, whether it be playoffs or the game before yours at Grimsby. Grimsby still needed to secure survival. So Morecambe at home on the final day is our first proper dead rubber. And I don't know about you, but when it's like this, I say just make a farce of it all. 6-5, bring on some legends, you know. Just
anybody
try
got
and
Glenn Hoddle's number, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah,
Jan
exactly.
Agathiortoft or something.
Oh, he was in town a couple of weeks ago for a reunion. So
was he, right?
Yeah. No, I'm all for it. You know, let's make an absolute farce of this game. Bring in your favorite players. You can have the team that played Exeter City at Wembley. We'll bring in the legends of 93, but you batter us because they're all in their 50s and 60s now. So yeah, it's a very, very much a dead rubber, which I hope means it'll be like a 6-5 other than a 0-0.
Well, a striker who scored our winning goal against Exeter in the playoff finals, now an estate agent in
England.
Yeah, so no, it was Danny Carlton.
Ah, Danny Carlton. But did Michael Twiss score in that
Michael
game?
Michael Twiss as well was in the final. Yeah, Gary Thompson, you'll be familiar with as well, and a few others.
I was at that game. I was at that game, believe it or not. Yeah, I remember.
Well, I was a Swindon Town fan at Morecambe against Exeter.
Because one of my best friends was an Exeter City fan. But,
well, there you go.
But I remember being very impressed by Blackburn, and then he signed for us a few months later, and it did not go well.
No, but least said about that, the better. I mean, happy memories, that. I mean, I suppose all things considered, I mean, we have, we've got, one or two issues off the field at the moment. As at time of recording, we are still under a transfer embargo. We have one contracted player for next season signed up. So Charlie Brown's going to have to play in goal up front in defence.
is going to have to put the kit out, he's going to do everything. And the news broke this afternoon that we've also lost our chief exec. He's off to Warsaw in the summer. So apart from that, and the speculation linking our gaffer with a move to Accrington, his former club. So apart from that, everything's wonderful. Everything's wonderful in our world.
Well, at least you get Derek Adams back shortly.
Well, let's talk about Derek Adams. That leads us on very nicely to that. Now, what did you make of the fact that he was watching you very attentively in the crowd last week, Rich?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because managers, unemployed managers and personalities within the industry go to these games all the time. So if you go to any Swindon game, probably the same with Morecambe, there's always a few interesting people in the posh seats, but this one seemed to spark a reaction. I think there was one main reason for this. There was an attempted protest before that game. It didn't go too well, but the rumours was a regular match day guest called Zav Austin said that they had an experienced manager lined up. So I think it was a bit of 2 + 2 = 5. And the reaction to the notion of Derek Adams becoming our next manager wasn't a positive one, but it wasn't furious, I don't think, because a lot of Swindon fans want an experienced manager, and you can't get much more experience in terms of games managed than Derek Adams. But when you see his quotes and his interviews from his more recent gig at Ross County, you don't want to be the club that employs Derek Adams after that, I'm sure, because he did well at Plymouth, of course. He did brilliantly to get you into League One. But there is this sort of running theme that we tend to get managers, or the ones that we're linked to at the moment, are not at the height of their success, and we're getting them on the downward. But it's all gone quiet on that front. So I think Derek Adams was either there simply to watch a game of football or there to cause a little bit of mischief.
Well, he was at one of our recent games, and he's also been to a Plymouth Argyle game in the last week or so. So he is doing the rounds, I think it's fair to say. Let's rewind a little bit then, Rich, if we may. And Michael Flynn's departure in January, what did you make of that, which has obviously paved the way for what's happened between now and the end of the season?
Yeah, I still haven't really processed that too much, because one thing's for sure, it wasn't going well with Michael Flynn. And I don't think it would have been worse than what we are now. Gavin Gunning's not done a huge amount to improve. I think we'd be exactly the same position as we were. The reason why I'm so conflicted about it is that they did it in the middle of the transfer window when players were coming in, and they weren't his players. They weren't Gunning's players. They were bringing in the club's recruitment policy. I think it's just the head coach or the manager has to just smile and accept what they've got. But you would think that if they're going to bring in 5-6 players, let the current guy have a go and see if they can turn things around. But it wasn't to be. It was very amicable, the departure. I'm sure Michael Flynn has various NDAs signed, but there was no bad blood. It seemed all very nice, which left us all a little bit even more confused, really.
So Gavin Gunning comes in as one of the, or was he, what was he, an academy, what, phase lead coach, basically from the academy, wasn't he, for want of a better expression?
There's a lot of cynicism with why he's here, who brought him here. Because he came in very quietly when Scott Lindsay was manager, and the assumption is that they both worked alongside each other at Forest Green Rovers. But when Scott Lindsay walked, it was very clear very quickly that there was no place for Gavin Gunning at Crawley. So it could be that he was brought in by somebody else at the club. And when the season ended, he wasn't a part of Michael Flynn's backroom staff, and he was at one stage loans manager who was helping out the academy. And then at the start of this year, before he became caretaker for the third time, he was in Australia helping the owner launch his soccer school over down in Australia, which was like a weekend. It wasn't like a huge massive project. He went down there to coach. And then suddenly, within a few weeks, he's attending the fans forum, batting away questions, and doing all the sort of things a permanent head coach would do. And he's been super relaxed about the whole thing. Like a man who thinks he's got it, perhaps. I don't know. But yeah, he's been doing a lot behind the scenes, but not too much fanfare. He's just been there, and now here he is as our long-term interim coach.
When somebody comes in interim, Rich, you think it's going to be for a few games, maybe half a dozen or so, maybe a month at most. But from the middle of January to now, the end of the season, that's quite some time, isn't it? So when, I suppose that's the tipping point, isn't it? When does interim become, well, he's the manager now?
Yeah, he was given the job until the end of the season from the very start as well. So from the moment it was announced, we knew he had 18 games, and that's a lot of football. And when you see what Doncaster Rovers have done, if you've got an experienced coach, because he's only 33, he's got no other experience beyond what he's done at Swindon, and his first two co-interim tenures were good fun. I can't say it's been good fun this time, but it's hard to criticize him exclusively because he can only do he can only work with what's in front of him. But at the same time, the club could have done something more definitive to have helped us climb up the division, which we haven't done over the last 18 games.
So is gunning the man then, Rich? Is it Derek Adams or is it somebody else?
Well, I don't think it's going to be Derek Adams. I change my mind about Gavin Gunning on a daily basis, and it's not whether I want him or not. If I had a choice, he wouldn't be our next head coach. But I think he's well liked at the club or by the important people at the club. But he hasn't had the run of successful results, the run of wins that you need in order to appoint somebody where the fan base will go, yeah, fair play. So I don't know if the club are in a bit of a holding pattern in terms of they are desperately seeking either an exit or investment. And I guess it will be quite appealing to anybody who comes in with money to have the ability to bring in their own manager. And we're not a million miles away from you in terms of our squad availability next year. We have a lot more than one. But I don't think if we don't know what triggers players have, but we have less than 10 that are contracted next season. So we're in a similar situation. But do I think it's going to be gunning? Like I say, I change every day. It wouldn't surprise me if it will be, but it won't be on the basis of how we've performed. It'll be because he's a well-liked chap behind the scenes, which petrifies me, but we'll see, because I'm also petrified by who they might replace him with. So it's a very tricky situation at Swindon at the moment. So it's a big decision to make for them.
Well, if you get Derek Adams, let me know, and I'll give you the full SP on him as far as I can. Because I've interviewed Derek many times before and after games, and I'll let you know. But it might not be him, so we'll wait and see, I suppose. Let's go on to talk about the game then, Rich, if we may. And yes, the deadest of dead rubbers. I mean, I'm really excited about an 8-hour round trip for nothing on the final day of the season. That fills my heart with joy, it really does. But no, we always have a good time at the County Ground, actually. It's a very, very friendly welcome. But ahead of the game, what do we need to know? Tell us everything about your team, lineup, players to watch. What do we need to know?
Yeah, well, we've just lost to Walsall. Obviously, at time recording, we haven't played Grimsby yet. I'm going to be really interested to see what lineup we go with, because I think they're going to play some under 18s. They've started that process by playing Joel McGregor, and they had to bring on Harley Hunt against Walsall. Both did pretty well. We've had a good year with the under 18s because they got to the second phase of their league system, and they also got to the FA Youth Cup quarterfinals and only lost narrowly to Bristol City, beating Manchester United 2-0 along the way, who hadn't lost in the league at that point. So there's some pretty decent young players there, and I do have a feeling that even if they don't start, there might be like a full complement on the bench much like a like Bristol Street Motors game or something. But we are very frustrating because attacking wise, we can be quite a threat. One of the real shining lights of the second half of the season has been the arrival of Paul Glatzel from Liverpool. He was on loan at Tranmere previously. He arrived with the big warning of being injury prone. He hasn't experienced that thus far, but not many of our games in the second half of the season have been high intensity, really, because we who is still seeking his 200th goal of the season. Of the season, that would be good, wouldn't it?
That would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Of his career. So he is probably, if he hasn't done it at Grimsby, he'll be desperate to do it for this. But the big thing, forget about the players that we play. The big thing for you as to how Swindon approach this will depend on what happens against Grimsby. Because if we don't beat Grimsby, then this will be our worst ever season in a four-tier Football League structure. So, you know, we had to apply for re-election and had some howlers in the 50s, but when it went to four tier, we have to win both games to beat what's called the Beamish line, because Ken Beamish was our manager in 83-84. And now if we drop a point against you, we drop any points against Grimsby, this will be our worst ever season in the four tier. So that might play a big factor, because they might be reluctant to play people or not play people on the basis of that, because they are aware of that too. So we'll have, it's hard because it's a dead of dead rubbers. They might give Connor Bran his debut in goal. Otherwise it'll be Jack Bycroft, who's arrived since we last played, and he's featured ever since. We'll play Udoka Godwin-Malife, who has been one of our better players across the season. Possibly should have won player of the year, but he was beaten by Dan Kemp, who left on the 1st of January, who got our player of the season.
That speaks volumes, I suppose.
That tells you everything you need to know about 2024 for Swindon, sadly. There's so many players that are up for renewal that I do wonder if they'll bother playing them. Fraser Blake Tracy, he should play at the back. Maybe it'll be Tom Brewitt. Maybe it'll be Harley Hunt, depending on fitness. We've got a player called Williams Kokolo, who started to come good, but he had a terrible game against Walsall. I think the attacking options is the area where we'll get you. We always give teams an opportunity to score. Every week, even if we keep a clean sheet, we always give the opposition a very clear chance. Not just that, oh, they had a shot. I'm talking, we'll fall over the ball, pass it to you, be all over the place positionally to give you an opportunity. It's whether you take it or not. That's absolutely the
on recent form, hopefully by the time people listen to this, we've just walloped Forest Green Rovers by half a dozen goals or so, and we'll be back in our stride. But at time of recording, we've lost 7 out of the last 9. And I'll be honest with you, last week, if we played Stockport last week, and if we'd have still been playing them at this moment at 6:05 on a Friday night, we still probably wouldn't have even had a shot. So, it swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
My gut instinct is that we're going to absolutely smash Morecambe, and it'll be not only the biggest dead rubber, it'll be just the most pointless, comprehensive win ever. And that is not even on the basis of the opposition. It's just the most pointless game ever, and we'll go and get our performance of the season and so forth. But like I said, no bearing on Morecambe season. It's just like that sometimes happens on the last day, doesn't it? It just you turn up and then the home team sort of sweeps you aside.
As I say, we've got one contracted player, we've lost our chief exec, we've just had a points deduction, we've got transfer embargo. But yeah, I mean, apart from that, I mean, we're going to have a great weekend. It's going to be brilliant. I mean, being smashed by yourselves on the final day probably put the icing on quite a couple of weeks, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe. But it would be a great way to smash past the Beamish line by a single point. But it's a bit difficult because I worry about Swindon at Grimsby. But we'll see.
So looking ahead to next season then, Rich, quickly, are you expecting things to improve in the summer and recruit well and have a good budget and then properly give it a go next season?
Yeah, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? If things are exactly the way they are now, and a lot can change in football in a matter of days, weeks, months, but if everything is the same now, we will be relegation fodder next season. And that includes transfer policy, those behind the scenes that are managing everything. We will go down. We are on a steady decline, and it makes so much, and it's so sad to say this, it makes so much sense that we'll be struggling. However, all it takes is one bit of news, one takeover, one new investor coming in, a change of philosophy, what have you, and things might play in our hands. League Two is not a division where you need to be hugely outstanding in order to climb up the division. We have beaten some of the best this year, and we have lost to some of the worst. And you cannot, I think that's been a big part of Forest Green Rovers' downfall this season. They had a really good squad on paper, but they just didn't manage it very well at all. And there's nothing, when you see the amount of teams of similar ilk to Swindon that have gone down to the National League, we are not immune. And right now, if things are exactly the same as they are, I'm more inclined to think we'll struggle than succeed. But that's not to say that we won't. There's a long way between now and August, and a lot can change.
And my very final question, Rich, when you see how well Scott Lindsay's doing at Crawley, could easily be in the playoffs. are you a little bit thinking what might have been, or would it have been very similar?
No, not at all. I'm not worried about that. He's done a terrific job at Crawley. And I do think that what he experienced at Swindon, which is a completely different environment, probably worked to his favour. It's funny because history will show where we were in the table when he left. And he left. We didn't sack him. He left for Crawley. So that was arranged. The fans didn't ever warm to him. That's where we probably let Scott Lindsay down, because his appointment was after a no stone left unturned approach where they spent weeks looking for a new manager and then just appointed the assistant. And that didn't go down well with the fans. And I think generally, including myself, we perhaps didn't give Scott Lindsay as much of an opportunity than others. But he could have stayed to prove town fans wrong. They weren't frothing at the mouth. They weren't being hugely abusive to him on match days or anything like that. And he would always go to the trouble saying, "I don't read social media, but I can tell you, having listened to a few of his comments as Crawley manager, that he absolutely did." He's done really, really well. I think Swindon, the job itself, is a bit of a poison chalice at the moment. There's too many cooks behind the scenes, and that's probably why they've got a Gavin Gunning there, who's happy to just have the job, age 33, you know. But Scott Lindsay, I don't spend every night thinking about Scott Lindsay and what could have been, let's put it that way. But make no mistake, he's done a really good job at Crawley, and fair play to him.
Rich, really appreciate your time, mate. Thanks very much. Normally at this point, I'd say good luck for the rest of the season, but it doesn't really apply in our case, does it? So I will wish you a very, very pleasant summer indeed, and hopefully we'll be catching up again very, very soon. Before you go, give us a sales pitch for the Loathed Strangers. I can barely say it, but where do we find it?
Well, it's on all platforms, all the usual places, and it is very completely Swindon-centric. So if Morecambe smash Swindon, then feel free to tune in and just soak that all up, because that happens, doesn't it, with opposition? They like to listen to the other podcast to hear them complain and flap wildly about why it was an injustice that you lost 4-0. But we tend to be more scathing on Swindon than anything in those situations.
Rich, really appreciate your time again, mate. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again. Enjoy your summer.
Cheers, Dave. Thank you very much.
Every kick, every game, every goal. Full match commentary of Morecambe FC on Beyond Radio. This is Shrimps Live from Beyond Radio.